Well, good morning, and thank you all for being here. I want to talk with you about the economic challenges facing the state of Iowa, as well as share my budget proposal for fiscal year 2010, which I'm submitting to the legislature today. Our nation is in the midst of an economic recession, which is historic in scope, caused by the actions of some on Wall Street and 8 years of misguided policies in Washington. And the result is hitting businesses and farms and families across our state and across the nation. Here in Iowa, our economy was hit on two fronts: the national economic crisis and the historic natural disasters of last summer. These facts are having a direct impact on hardworking men and women in Iowa. Just yesterday, we learned that the unemployment rate in our state rose to 4.6%. That compares to 3.8% 1 year ago. Today, 77,000 Iowans are unemployed. Over the past year, we have lost 9,300 professional and business services jobs, 7,000 manufacturing jobs, and 3,800 construction jobs. So I believe we need to take bold action now to do something about this recession. Towards that end, I have proposed the creation of the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Authority, an effort to stimulate economic growth during this recession, create good private sector jobs, and address unmet infrastructure needs. Infrastructure investment is essential for not only job creation, but for keeping existing jobs in Iowa. The Rebuild Iowa Authority would issue $700 million in bonds paid with existing gaming revenue to be used for grants and loans to projects across the state. This is the right time to do it. We've earned a AAA bond rating, interest rates are at near record low, and our state has one of the lowest debt levels of any state in the nation. In fact, we're ranked 48th in the nation when it comes to our public debt per capita. If we doubled our current debt amount, we would still be ranked 48th. Creating the Rebuild Iowa Authority would also allow us to build upon any additional federal stimulus or flood recovery funds that our state might receive in the future. When fully leveraged, this $700 million investment will lead to billions of dollars of projects to improve our state, to rebuild our flood-affected areas, and create thousands of new jobs. So while we're cutting back on the day-to-day expenditures of state government, we must be investing in bricks and mortar to create jobs, support businesses, and keep our economy going. And we are positioned to do it without raising taxes. But first, we must cut government spending. Any public official, including members of the legislature and my own administration, who does not expect and is not prepared for significant budget cuts in the coming year is ignoring the economic reality that faces our state and our nation. Anyone in state government who thinks we can carry on with business as usual is mistaken. The economic challenges that business owners and farmers and families face each and every day are the same challenges that we face in state government. Like them, we must do more with less. While the national economic recession is not the fault of Iowans, we must face the challenge, accept the reality, and share the sacrifice together. And we are not alone. As we speak, according to the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, 45 states are either in or headed towards a deficit during the current fiscal year, totaling more than $150 billion. By fiscal year 2011, that amount is projected to total $350 billion. States like New York and California are looking at multi-billion dollar tax increases. In Colorado, the governor announced a 10% cut in state spending. Neighboring states, such as Wisconsin and Illinois, face deficit measures in the billions of dollars. And just yesterday in Minnesota, Governor Pawlenty unveiled steps to close a $4.85 billion deficit. As you know, we have already responded here in Iowa. When state revenues fell short of projections in October, I started with my own departments, telling them to cut expenses. As revenues lagged further in December, I invoked my executive authority to make a 1.5% across-the-board cut to this year's budget. And I asked the legislature to approve reductions, including the deappropriation of funds for a new state office building. In total, we have reduced state government spending by nearly $180 million over the past 2 months in order to balance the 2009 budget. But more cuts are necessary for the next fiscal year. So today I'm submitting my fiscal year 2010 budget proposal to the Iowa General Assembly. This budget proposal, totaling $6.2 billion, includes a 6.5% cut to almost every state department and program. In fact, 207 of the 253 line items in my budget proposal will be cut by 6.5%. That represents a reduction of $400 million. There are some who believe that putting this together, that putting this budget together was easy. That is not the case. We are making these decisions not because we want to, but because we have to. One thing that we cannot do during this economic recession is raise taxes on Iowa workers and Iowa businesses. This is the wrong time to do this in the midst of this economic downturn. We must also continue to abide by conservative budgeting practices. This has led to our state's largest cash reserve and highest possible bond rating, and put Iowa in a better position than almost any other state to get through this recession. And that is why this budget proposal does not include potential federal economic stimulus funds, and we're not going to spend money that we don't have. In addition, I'm committed to protecting our investments in critical areas. Specifically, I want to make sure the following do not feel the full extent of these cuts: funding for the Department of Public Safety and Department of Corrections, funding for teacher quality and early childhood education programs, as well as funding 2% allowable growth for our school districts, appropriations for support of Medicaid, Hawkeye, Children and Family Services, and the Glenwood Resource Center, compensation for Iowa victims of crime, our state's matching fund for disaster relief, and funding for workforce development offices who are there to help the unemployed. Finally, Iowa does have a record level of cash reserves, now totaling $620 million. In order to keep our budget cuts from going even deeper, I am proposing that $200 million of our reserves be transferred to the general fund for the 2010 budget. After all, this is our rainy day fund, and it has rained, literally, during last summer's natural disasters, and figuratively as a result of our national economic crisis. I believe it is a responsible step to use some of these savings in order to lessen the impact of budget cuts brought on by natural disasters in our national economy. To suggest that we should not use these funds and to sit back and wait for matters to get worse ignores both the challenges facing our budget and the real needs of Iowans. Like most Iowans, I'm both optimistic and confident about what the future of our state holds. We have always met challenges with solutions and problems with answers, and we always will. Our strong fiscal management means the state has its largest cash reserves, the highest possible bond rating, and one of the lowest public debts in the nation. Iowa is in a better position to grow our economy and get through this recession than almost any state in the country. But that does not mean we can avoid cutting government spending, holding the line on taxes, and changing the way we do business. If we make these tough decisions now, I believe we will not only get through this economic crisis, but we will come out of it stronger and better prepared for the future. Thank you, and I'll be happy to take some questions along with Dick Oshlow, our budget director. Thank you.
Help me out here. You're talking about budget cuts. The budget you're proposing is $115 million bigger than the current year. Help.
Well, we have a lot of built-in expenses that we've already committed to. For example, 4% allowable growth. But the overall reduction in terms of our cut is for 10 is $400 million. And Dick, if you want to add.
So it would have been $400 million larger than it is.
It would have been $580 million. It would have been $780 million larger if we didn't.
So instead of increasing spending by $780 million, you're increasing it by $115 million and calling it a cut.
No, once we true up. fiscal year 10.
Go to the microphone.
Once we true up fiscal year 10 to fiscal year 09, compare apples to apples, you look at page 8 of the book, you'll see that there is a reduction. Fiscal year 10 is about $80 million lower than fiscal year 09. You have, because we're making transfers back to the general fund as we started to do last year of off-balance sheet budgets, and you have to really compare apples to apples.
What page is that again?
Page 8.
Is that $8 million less from what the legislature appropriated last
It's $88 million less than the fiscal year 09 budget as adjusted by the governor's actions.
Okay.
Governor, you say no tax increases, and yet the Department of Natural Resources is talking about raising hunting license fees. So you're not raising taxes, but you are going to raise fees?
No, that is not in my budget. That those
Why is your department going around talking about that?
Well, they're coming up with ideas that they recommend to balance their budget. That I do not believe that will pass the legislature.
And Dave Neal is quoted saying, well, we can't inspect amusement rides if this happens. How are your departments starting to play games with you on what's going to be cut here?
Absolutely not. We're giving very firm direction in terms of what those cuts, what the goals are in terms of those cuts per agency and per department.
Page 1 indicates that you are proposing the elimination of promised tax credits to the tune of $30 million. Are there any other tax credits that you don't plan to extend, which are on the books right now?
We're proposing to try to get control of the uncapped tax credits, and so the estimate in there is $30 million, and we'll be working with the legislature to come up with specific ideas. Most tax credits in the state are capped. We're looking at what the Department of Revenue has been estimating this rampant growth and how to get some control of them, and including capping the uncapped tax credits on any given year.
There's no salary money in the budget, right?
That's correct.
And so agencies will just have to absorb raises for their workers out of their budget. Is that why you're saying that these protected areas, you're saying they're not feeling the full extent of this tight budget? Is that one of the things you mean by that? That they're even corrections and those folks are going to have to pay for their salary increases out of their budget?
Well, that will be up to the directors working in conjunction with our department management team and budget team. There will, the number one priority in terms of reducing the effects of the across-the-board cuts in certain areas is to make sure that we have enough troopers and correctional officers on the front lines. It's not to give raises. So just because they are protected to some extent from the across the board doesn't mean we're allowing them to spend as they always have in the past. We have essentially a hiring freeze right now, so that is not going to allow them to continue hiring, only if it's an emergency, only if they have to fill a spot.
So even these protected areas, they're going to have to find the money for raises out of their budget.
Yes.
And what else do you mean when you say these protected areas won't feel the full extent of the budget cuts? What do you mean by that?
Well, they won't. They if they have to fill a position, if they need an extra correctional officer or a trooper in the name of public safety, they'll be able to fill that position. Most agencies won't be able to fill vacancies or add any additional staff, but if we have to do that because we're making improvements, for example, at a number of our correctional facilities, we're going to need some more staffing as we add on and renovate certain facilities. We're going to allow them to do that. So the message has been sent very clearly that these exceptions are only have to do with immediate public safety, and that's same with crime victims assistance. We're allowing that program to continue, but that doesn't mean they're going to be giving raises. It only means that they're going to be having adequate staff to protect women and children that are being abused.
Do you feel this is you're going deep enough here. Or do you anticipate this being the end of it? If you allowed, if you cut deep, the idea to make it worse, or are you going to be back here?
I don't know how much further you want us to go, David. We've cut $580 million. It represents the largest cut in decades, if not ever.
Is this the end of it? Do you anticipate having to go more?
I expect this 6.5% cut will help us balance the budget in 2010. Yes. I believe the $580 million in cuts is the right thing to do. Otherwise, I wouldn't propose a budget that doesn't balance.
So you don't think the economy is going to get any worse and you're going to be back here having to make
it? I can't predict what's going to happen, but I do not anticipate coming back and making changes. I am proposing a budget that will balance in 2010 that will leave a balance of $73 million. This is not a game. We're doing what we have to do by law to balance the budget. We're not anticipating coming back. We're doing the responsible thing. And to suggest that 6.5% is not enough, which represents perhaps the largest cut in the history of our state, coupled with the $180 million, is just wrong. Well, we're leaving $400 million for that, in part for that reason. It's a responsible amount of money to take a third of the cash reserves to balance intent. That leaves us with $400 million if we need it for another economic emergency, which we might need. That's why we're not using all of it.
Governor, despite your comments about no tax increases, lawmakers say that they don't think no means no on the gas tax. Are you taking that off the table today, no gas tax increase?
I don't know how much more clear I could be. I do not believe raising the gas tax during a recession is a prudent thing to do, period. However, if 150 legislators want to keep talking about it, they have that right. But I've been extremely clear to you and dozens of other media outlets about my reluctance to raise the gas tax during a recession. I don't know.
So you would veto a gas tax increase?
I have great reservations about raising the gas tax, and the legislature can have their discussion, but I've been very clear in terms of my position.
Do you have a sense of what this will mean for the state workforce, these cuts? I mean, how deep a layoff are we looking at?
Significant. Significant layoffs are very likely. Anytime you cut $580 million out of a budget, you're going to have layoffs.
Thanks, Governor.
Thank you all.
Dick Oshlow, our budget director, and Charlie Krugmeyer, chief of staff, though, are going to be around for as long as you need them for questions. And yes, they'll be at the mics.
Charlie, is there any state program that zeroed out?
I'll handle the easy ones. He'll handle the hard ones.
Okay. Is there any state program in this document that is zeroed out, that has been canceled, that has been closed?
Yeah, there are a couple, I think, aren't there?
And they are?
Well,
up to the mic, please.
Yeah, I know. In the document, you want me to tell you where?
Well, I'm assuming that you're closing a state government, that you thought about it.
Yeah.
State government program.
The county fair thing, right?
Yeah, there are some projects in RIF, and I can get you a
projects
list
in RIF that are zeroed out.
So they're construction projects, not services to people.
Some people think they're operating expenses.
Yeah.
And there's always that argument about what's operational and what's not operational out of RIF.
What's the rationale behind not protecting teacher quality from cuts?
Well, teacher quality money, and this gets a little confusing, but the teacher quality money is part of a great big pot of education money, obviously. Is it $20
million? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was $20 million, which is a significant amount of money, but a relatively small piece of money in terms of the overall education spending. And that's teacher quality money that's been going on for several years. And in discussions with the Department of Education, and others. I think the governor came to the conclusion that we need to continue that momentum in terms of improving teacher quality. So let's try to protect that. Same with the preschool expansion to try to get to universal preschool on the same schedule. So that was accepted, which I think is about $15 million. So that was the reason there.
Can I ask you, on page 29, it says in 2008, this is about the Lieutenant Governor and Governor's Office Appropriation. According to this, there is about a $400,000 increase from 2008 to 2009, and then a $180,000 increase from 2008 to 2010. Can you explain why right. the Governor and Lieutenant Governor's Office need an increase when other places are being cut or not getting any funding?
Because those expenses were being paid out of other budgets before. If you go back to 2008 and 2007, all of that money that moved over was money that was being paid from Department of Economic Development, Department of Natural Resources, Department of Education, DHS, DOT. We were funding, the state, was funding a number of positions in the governor's office out of agency budgets. Now, that's been done for years.
Are you saying the Vilsack administration
no.
was playing games with the budget?
I'll bring my law school classmate, Terry Branstad. He did it first. But that's been done. And so what we did with the legislature and the governor's budget a couple of years ago, and you can ask Senator Danielson, I think, who chairs that budget committee, because I had the discussion with him in front of some of you. We said we want to, over time, move those positions and fund them where they ought to be funded. If they're governor's office positions, fund them out of the governor's office. So in the first Culver year budget, we funded a fair number of them and mm-hmm. funded a few more last year.
Yeah, we paid
so that's why that number is up.
Years.
Right now, I think there are 8 vacancies in the governor's office.
The governor indicated there would be significant layoffs. Can you quantify what significant means?
No.
Depends by department.
It's going to vary from one department to the other. Some departments, by the nature of their budget and how they operate, are very staff intensive. Others have other things they do besides the employees. So it's going to depend, and we want to give them, we've talked to the department directors, give them as much flexibility as we can as to how they handle that. But in the end, with this level, I don't think you can avoid some level of furloughs and layoffs.
Local property taxes, credits, how much do you fund and where does that come from?
We fund about $62 million. Our estimate is that we're underfunding them about $49 million.
The $49 million there, if it happens, would have to be made up by local government?
It would be mostly out of the homestead tax credit. We're funding tax credits for senior citizens, for the veterans. So it would be out of the homestead property tax credit section.
Does that and the 2% allowable growth that is going to come most likely from spending authority, why isn't that a tax shift from the state to local governments and the school districts?
It's a local option issue. I mean, the local governments have those choices. And the governor's budget addresses how much he is proposing the state fund for a variety of issues. What the local governments fund in terms of those differences is their choice. On the school district issue specifically, I saw the numbers again yesterday. The school districts in Iowa have about $350 million in cash that they're sitting on as of the end of the last fiscal year. Some districts are relatively cash rich. All of them are not. And as we've seen with this first 1.5% round of across-the-board cuts, a lot of school districts have been able to handle that. So. Out of their cash reserves. Others have moved in other directions. So I think what you would see if the legislature does not change that spending authority is school districts, some would handle that out of cash reserves, some would look at property taxes, others would choose to make cuts. And that's, again, a local control issue.
I see you've got realignment of funds. So that indicates, are you talking to the state auditor trying to meet some of his objections and concerns that he's historically raised about?
Right. Yeah, we've met with the auditor several times. I met with him again early this morning. And some of those fund transfers, and that's why the net number, you have to try to compare apples to apples, which is difficult. But trying to bring more transparency and bring more things into the general fund that are truly operational, what ought to be in the general fund.
Well,
and that we, again, the state for a long time has created other funds to move things around. We're trying to do that.
Started that process last year.
So those funds are being eliminated, is that what you're saying?
Well, the funds are being rolled, any money that's in there is being put in, as well as the expenditures that go along with it.
So they'll still be, those funds will still be part of the general fund? Or?
Well, no, they would be eliminated.
The fund would be eliminated. Right. They're off-balance budget financing is what it is, and we're moving it back to the general fund with the related expenditures.
So there will be no senior living trust fund any longer? Or?
But there will be a line item in the general fund for the senior living trust.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the expenditures on that.
The expenditures that have been coming out of that in the past would come out of the general fund.
Yeah.
So those items out of senior living trust fund, some of our health care,
mostly
Medicaid
healthcare.
Comes out of there, some other things. Are still, they're funded at a level out of the general fund, but not out of the senior living trust fund.
There just won't be a special fund for
this. Right. That's what we're trying to get rid of.
Transparency.
Trying to get rid of some of these special funds.
There's some estimates that show that the federal stimulus package will bring as much as $1.9 billion to Iowa. Do you have a plan of how that money, some of this money will be used to help plug budget gaps? Do you have a plan on how that money would be used?
In the last 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks, we've talked, the governor and staff have talked a lot about that issue. And part of the problem goes to your question, Jason, that some estimates say $1.9 billion. Other estimates say other numbers. And you all read the stories or write the stories, and we get updates every day from our congressional staff person out there from the various congressional offices, but we also get them from other sources, whether it's the DOT gets information on the transportation side, DHS gets it from the Medicaid, from their counterparts. To some extent, the numbers are all over the board. And in the last week or 10 days when we put this thing to bed, the governor said we can't count on it. The numbers are too fluid, so let's not include it. In the end, I think, and the governor thinks there'll be some money. There'll be something in Medicaid. How much, I think, is still up in the air, but it'll be significant, and it will help us there. Some of the other items, though, may be, depending upon how Congress and the President do it, may not really help us much in the general fund.
On the protected areas, so the only thing that you buy protected, they're not going to get salary money, they're going to have a hiring freeze, but they're not going to have their budgets cut otherwise, is that...
For Department of Corrections is what we've done, and same thing with the troopers at Public Safety. What we've done is talk to those department directors, and they are getting an increase in their overall budget. You see that in their numbers. Because the governor wants, we're not going to lay off correctional officers, bluntly. I just don't think that's a good idea. Now, do they need to expand the number? We want to talk to them about that, and they're all of those positions necessarily equal, we want to talk to them about that. But we need troopers out on the roads, and we need troopers and DCI lab workers to process criminal cases. So there are limits to the freeze, and we wanted to provide them some funds to be able to handle this.
So there's a lot of talk about selling of state assets. What's being recommended in here?
We don't have a specific item in there. What we have in there is an item, I think it's $20 million, right?
Yes.
That we call reorganization and efficiency savings, and that would include any sale of assets if there are any.
It's just a ballpark $20 million, but
yeah.
We're not specifying.
We've got a few ideas, but we're not going to share those now. We want to talk to legislative leaders some more about those. They've
smart,
got some ideas.
Purchasing, reorganization ideas, yeah. Efficiencies.
How can you come up with $20 million if you're not saying what it is?
You can set a target and ask the legislature to help us find it. And we've got some ways to get there, and they might have some other ways to get there.
Yeah, there have been previous studies over at Dawson how to implement smart purchasing, and we'll take a look at that.
No, I think we need to have more discussions upstairs first.
On page two, these protected areas then, and these amounts of money, these are how much they're getting more than this year?
That page two.
This is new money.
The governor seemed to bristle when I asked him if this was the end. Is our economy at the bottom? He said on Monday he's going to have to dip into the cash reserve again for the 2011 budget. Tell us why this is it. Once we get through this, we're done.
I don't think he quite said that, David. I think he be said that this budget is balanced. It's balanced for 2010. We think it's a good budget that works for 2010, given all the information we have today. Now, are we at the bottom of this recession or whatever you want to call it? I think all the economists would tell us no, or probably not. And that's one of the reasons why we didn't want to put in any more of the reserves, because frankly, we'll probably end up having to use some of those next year. That's one of the reasons why we didn't want to count on a lot of federal money, not really knowing what it is yet, because that may need to be used next year or in some other way. So we think this is a balanced budget that works for 2010. We all know this is the beginning of a budget process, and they'll do some things upstairs, and we'll have the spring REC numbers, which hopefully they'll stay where they're at for 2009, but I don't think they're going to get better for 2010. And I'd be surprised if they didn't get worse.
It sounds like you expect 2011 to be worse.
Well, worse in what context? I mean, are we starting to cut? I think I'd be very surprised if we didn't use some cash reserves in 2011.
But this doesn't expect until July 1. Is there a chance there'll be federal money filed back and that minus 1.4% might disappear?
Well, I think that's a debate the folks upstairs are going to have. Our governor's view is that we have to be very careful about how much, if there is federal money, we have to be very careful about how much of that money we go through this year in terms of 2010 that we may need to hold back for the following year. I mean, and we don't know yet in terms of the federal money how much or exactly what strings are on it, or all of those details just makes it a little more difficult. But in effect, that federal money is one-time money. I don't think it's going to go on every year. It may go for a couple of years, but... that's why we chose not to put it in.
I know there's been talk about selling state assets of any sort, whether it's land or anything else, or anything that the budget deals with that, or
That all is rolled into the $20 million reorganization efficiency savings sale of property. Right. Anything that would cover that?
How does that compare to the current year, the funding level that you guys have proposed?
It's a little complicated because we put about $44 million in the base over the last couple of years. So the amount that would normally be coming from the current year revenues would be about $115 million, and we're funding $62-63
million.
So. Charlie, in your discussions with legislative leaders on the budget, how would you characterize their reaction to these numbers? Are they on board? Or
which legislative leaders?
Sorry?
Which one?
The ones you've talked to.
I think I think they're generally on board. Obviously, some would prefer, some in the other party would prefer we make more cuts and go further, and I'm sure they'll have something to say to all of you today. I think generally in the Democratic leaders are pretty much on board with this, and they want to look at it. They have an obligation, obviously, to their members and their Appropriations Committee to go through the process. They may choose to do some things a little differently, but that's how it works every year.
What are you proposing to do for allowable growth for fiscal year 2011?
We haven't proposed anything on that. There's nothing in here that proposes that. The governor has 30 days from today to make that proposal, and we're going to take that time and have quite a few more discussions about that.
The governor's
That's going to be a local decision. It's not a decision being made here to increase property taxes or any other tax.
Speaking of decisions being made here, the governor, as David referenced, exhibited a little bit of emotion. You two were involved in drafting the budget last year. How would you compare and contrast the process in the office of developing this budget, given the emotion he displayed just now and situation?
Well, the process has been a good process. We've had this year is a little different than some other years because you've got some things in the air yet, like possibly significant amounts of federal money. You've got a spring REC number that's not going to probably be good. This is always, in terms of the budget document, the governor's proposal is the start of a process. And by the time we get to somewhere in April and the legislature finishes a process, it can look a little bit different. It usually does, sometimes quite a bit different. this year is probably a little more challenging because of some of those variables that are in there.
Is the biggest budget cut you mentioned that are adequate?
We've tried to research that some. We think it probably is, but we haven't gone back to Civil War.
Where do you see the cash reserve funds being at the end of the 2010 budget?
That should
about
be in
300
there.
And
this should be in one of these pages.
Our estimate at 2010?
The end of 2010.
2010, $381 million.
In reserves?
Yeah.
And what would your cash balance be at the end of the year?
Well, that's it.
But the budget balance.
Oh, the budget balance.
The end of 2010, we're estimating 75.7. The ending balance.
Yeah. 77.
75.7. That's on page 8 of the book.
And can you talk about when you were talking about when the governor was talking about his protected areas won't see the full extent? Can you clarify? Does that mean that they might see some smaller percent, or they're going to see 0% cut?
We want to explain how.
Well,
that?
Yeah, we exempted those.
So they won't see nothing.
Corrections, Department of Corrections, Department of Workforce Development, Public Safety, Glenwood Resource Center, the Victims Compensation Program that he mentioned are all exempted from the 6.5%
cut. So their funding will be the same as what was this current budget year?
Right.
Exactly. But they'll have to cover their salaries, correct? So in a sense, they face a bit of a cut in the sense that they do more with less.
Yeah, and the salary adjustment is obviously being negotiated, so we don't know what that's going to be.
You know when that will be that we would.
I think under the collective bargaining law, if we don't come to a settlement by it's like February 15th or February 20th, you'd have to ask DAS the exact date, but there's a date in there that we go to arbitration. And there's a deadline for the arbitrator to rule, which I think is March 15th, but don't quote me on that, sometime in March.
Let me finish that response.
Medicaid, Hawkeye Growth, Child and Family Services, which I think were in the governor's list, they're an increase over fiscal year 09.
Some of those are.
And all of these are increases over fiscal year 09.
Not all 09. Some are exempt by that dollar amount, and some are increases over.
So that chart in there, what do those numbers reflect? Is that in it? That's
well, that's why we identified in there exempt from the that's the amount exempted as identified from the 6.5% increase.
So that equals 6.5% of their budget?
Yeah. And the other amounts would be the amount, Medicaid, for instance, is what we're funding increase.
That's their
funding
increase.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be Medicaid, for instance.
When will this be online?
It's online right now.
Can you talk a little bit about what differences Iowans are going to see in their state government? What do these cuts mean for everyday Iowans?
I think that's yet to be determined. I don't think, in most cases, frankly, that departments are going to be able to absorb these kind of cuts and not see some change in services. And there'll be more on that as departments analyze this and look at it. We sat down with the department directors starting over the weekend and finished Monday night, I guess, or yesterday.
Yesterday.
And giving them their actual numbers. So they're all, back with their staffs, I think, now looking at how they adjust to that.
Are these budget cuts too much for any of these programs to handle?
That's an opinion issue, I guess. That's a matter of opinion. You may think they're too much. I may think they're not enough. But that's.
Well, there's already reports, right, of amusement park inspections might not take place. Parks may not be maintained.
Yeah. With all due respect to my friend Dave Neal, we're going to inspect amusement rides.
Well, we're
having discussions with departments about those kinds of issues. And we're not going to have amusement rides out there that aren't safe for your kids or my grandkids or anybody else to ride on.
Why would he say that?
He may not have seen all the details yet. I mean, and there's, there is a legitimate point. I don't want to pick on Dave, but there is a legitimate point. I think we have a responsibility to explain to the public that if you are going to make cuts or you're not going to fund increases in some areas where you can't control the increase. If someone walks into DHS, qualifies for Medicaid, they get their Medicaid payments, and they should. So we have to project what that increase is going to be or what those increases are going to be. If someone is unemployed and they walk into the workforce office, they should get services. And I think most people would agree to that. At the same time, given the economy we're in, the situation we're in, you know, like Rich Leopold said, whether the grass gets mowed as often or the parks are open as often or some of those things have to be looked at. And I think the public needs to understand that.
Do you have more of a liability issue for the state? I mean, you've got regulatory programs.
Sure.
And writing departments. If they're getting cut, can they meet the mandates you've set for them to regulate, whether it's amusement park rights or whatever
right.
else?
I think that's, you know, that's obviously a challenge to us on the executive side, but it's also a challenge to the legislature in terms of what they're going to require departments to do with the amount of money they have available. I think Secretary Northey in someone's story this morning, Jason's story, I think Secretary Northey was quoted something along those lines.
Do you have any more specifics on how the $700 million would be used for the infrastructure? For example, how much would be used for highways, how much would be used for actual?
We're working on that right now. We have a draft bill down based on our term sheet and hope to iron that out in the next week or so working with the legislature.
Okay.
So they're going to form a team, a small team,
and
start negotiating that.
Has the draft been introduced or
no.
No, we're it just came down for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
We identify specific projects, or will it be more broad?
It'll be broader, you know, with categories and some percentage allocation.
Okay.
If you were not going to include the federal stimulus money in here, why couldn't you release the budget 3 weeks ago?
Well, we wanted to give the process a time. I mean, you know, 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, they were going to have it on President Obama's desk for him to sign Inauguration Day. You know, then they were going to have it done by February 1st. And now they're going to have it done by the end of February. So we thought we would give the process some time to see if there was anything significant there, but ended up coming to the conclusion that, you know, how long do we wait? And do we count on, do we plug in numbers that maybe are reasonably good numbers? And I think somebody from some think tank suggested we ought to be doing that. Some states were. Well, under the budget law, we don't have that choice. We don't plug in numbers that aren't real numbers.
On page 14, can you explain what you're doing with your 09 supplemental and VPRO? I know that you got $47 million you're adding to Medicaid. Are these others the adjustments back? Or
No. That page identifies our supplemental appropriation, deappropriation. There has been need in 09 for Medicaid growth, for instance, and then several departments had performance of duty requests related to the 08 natural disaster. So we're putting those in as a supplemental appropriation. The bottom list, which is the longer list, totaling $30 million, those are the deappropriations that we have to take to get to the savings that the governor announced on December 9th. To the ending balance, to the bottom line. So we have to go in and legally deappropriate that money.
Is the $56 million that they just approved out of the Economic Emergency Fund for flood and disaster part of the $200 million he's taking from cash reserves, or is that on top of that?
It's on top. It's on top.
You're
in addition
to. You're really going to take $256
million.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's built in here.
For this chart for all the realignments of funds, do you know how much money that is on the other?
No, off the top of my head, but I can get that for you.
Okay,
thank you.